Right now, time to welcome in Brian Ross and Real News. Brian joins us on a Thursday morning. We also post it on our on-demand site and rebroadcast it on the weekend as well with Real News as we take a look at some of the stories. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning to you, Marshall. Happy Thursday and Memorial Day coming up. A little break.
A little break with Memorial Day, but as we head into Memorial Day, once again, 9 people in San Jose are dead now as a result of yet another mass shooting in the United States.
And we turn and look at what's being done in Washington, and the answer is nothing, because they still can't get past, they can't get anything past there right now, and they haven't had the votes to do anything, and the country's been in a Mitch McConnell kind of gridlock. Gridlock.
Yeah, it's a terrible way to go into a Memorial Day weekend. Interesting story that I want your take on is the United States government and intelligence agencies are now, at the request of President Biden, taking a deeper look into the origins of COVID-19.
Absolutely, and of course, there's a little bit of "I told you so" coming from Republicans and from the former president. We're pushing this theory, and there seems to be a lot more to it than perhaps we first thought. And you know, there are some complexities involved here, but certainly the information coming out now about the 3 lab technicians there being hospitalized well before this broke from some mysterious ailment just, you know, add fuel to the fire that this was something in a lab there that somehow escaped. I don't buy that it was purposely done by China, but it somehow escaped, and from what I've been seeing, and excellent reporting by the Wall Street Journal, very poor security at that lab for a very risky process that was going on, in part, partially funded by the United States for this research.
All right. Now, out of our own little state of Connecticut, and it goes to tell you exactly where we stand, an 8th noose now has been found at the construction site of a huge Amazon facility in Connecticut, 3.5 million square feet. So that's 8 nooses now. And they even shut down for a couple of days to put in security systems and camera systems. But it might not sound like much to someone who is young and white, but to anybody who lived through what black Americans lived through with the hangings and the lynchings and the stories that came from, this is a significant problem.
It couldn't be more symbolic of some of the darkest days of America. And that this goes on, just, you know, like who would do that and why? What is the point of that? It is sick, frankly. And, you know, it's clearly something that's, if for all Americans, but particularly for Americans of color, you know, it tells you again that there is something deeply rooted in this country that needs to be rooted out.
Yeah, it's just one of those canary in a coal mine, one of those indicators that shows you the level of the temperature when it comes to racial relations in this country. All right, we'll take a look once again at Mitt Romney, one of the lone Republicans. His quote that was released yesterday that I saw is that he is saying that if the GOP blocks the January 6th commission, he thinks it would be seen as not wanting to let the truth come out.
I think that's true. The problem is there would need to be 9 more like him to break through the filibuster rules requiring 60 votes. At the moment, it looks like the Democrats have agreed they're going to put it to a vote and force the Republicans that they want to filibuster on that particular issue. And, you know, the centrist Democrats, Sinema and Manchin, in favor of a January 6th commission of some sort. It's, you know, it's hard to see what's going to happen here. This all goes to this larger issue, and it's coming to a head here. You know, President Biden had sent a rather a serious deadline of Memorial Day to see if Republicans would come back with some serious offers and show that they really truly do want to have a bipartisanship in the Capitol. And that hasn't happened, as we know, unless it somehow mysteriously, magically happens before next Monday. And this is one of those issues, along with voting rights, police reform, given the anniversary of the death of George Floyd, and gun control. All of those issues are stuck in this gridlock that I was referring to. And this issue of the January 6th commission may be the one where it seems the Democrats want to double down on this and force Republicans, if that's what you want to do, if you want a filibuster on that issue, I think they're going to let the Republicans go ahead and see what Manchin does. He's sort of the, he's got a kind of a serious veto in the sense that right now the Democrats don't have enough to override a, and they may not have enough at this point to even force through what, by what's called reconciliation, the 50 votes to get with. They're in a tough place, and I think the showdown over this January 6th commission is meant to show Joe Manchin that you just Republicans.
Yep, just gotta stand the ground, and it's. I think it's something that yes, Republican voters are not on board with it, but you can't be concerned with that. You just have to be concerned with doing what's on the right side of history. Now, I want to speak to you about something that's coming up at the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, and you are going to be doing another one of these sit-down interviews with an author who's right up your alley.
Absolutely, and who is someone I know well, Barry Meyer, a former New York Times reporter, a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter, has written this great book called Spook. He takes a look at all the private intelligence agencies that sprung up, a multi-billion dollar a year business, and they worked for Harvey Weinstein, they worked for oligarchs, and they worked for the Democratic Party in putting together the so-called dossier on Donald Trump. And in his book, Spooked, in which I'm quoted and referred to, he takes apart that dossier and shows what a real piece of garbage it was and what a distraction it was, because it undercut the true narrative, which was the Republicans were busy trying to influence the election and try to, on behalf of Donald Trump. And that got lost somehow because this dossier was proven to be not worth the paper it was printed on in many cases. Broad strokes, yes, the dossier made points that everybody else was, but on the specifics, which gave it the real heft and the gravity, it found to be wanting and either not true or hard to prove it's true. And so Barry's done a deep dive on this whole world, and he's going to come to the Sharon Library. We're actually going to have our first event outdoors, and it will be fascinating, and we'll also be streaming it. But he is a great writer. He was the one who first wrote about the opioid epidemic and the Sackler family at Purdue Pharma. So a great reporter and a great book, and it'll be a very interesting evening. I'm glad you brought it up.
And that'll be June 3rd, and once again, it'll be outside, so you can go or else you can watch it streamed. When I was talking with him, I was weaving in with the fact about that, about how people have got to learn to open up their eyes and look at something that might be fake news, because I remember when I remember two incidences. I remember when the start of the crisis of opioids, when that drug was first introduced, there were so many people on so many different news programs touting this miracle drug that was going to make people with arthritis be able to walk, and it lost its way when the company started selling so much, and back then news didn't really cover any of the scientific studies that went into it, and we talked about that, and also I don't know about you, Brian, but when I heard the news about the Trump dossier, I just laughed and I said, but the problem with this country is too many people watch James Bond movies where some things are put in just for the excitement, and yes, the news media did fail on both those instances, but it's a broader problem that I was talking with him about as well, is people not now in social media being able to recognize or want to investigate to see if something is real or not.
Well, it goes down to everybody's got their own favorite news outlet, and depending on what that is, it's where your reality exists. And, the viewers of Fox don't see the same world as the viewers of CNN or MSNBC, or the readers of the New York Times don't see the same thing as the readers of the New York Post. So you can't, people are fed information. They come to believe it because they have their trusted source. And it's a real issue, but it's not new to America. It's always been the case that we've had many different voices. And frankly, under democracy and the First Amendment, many voices is better than few voices.
I just think the big problem is that news departments, whether it's in newspapers or television or broadcasting, have cut back their bureaus so much that you don't get that investigative reporting anymore, except now a few papers have started to come along. The Times is one of them. The Washington Post is one of them, where they're starting to beef back up those newsrooms with not just beat reporters, but reporters that do in-depth, deep dive discovery.
Well, you bet on that. And the point is that all of these news organizations, networks and the cable networks and the newspapers, they're not charities. They are there to make money. And the bosses at the highest level need to know, and I think the Times and the Washington Post and the Wall Street Journal have proven that it is commercially successful to do serious investigative reporting, that people will read what you write if that's what you're doing, if you have credibility. And the cheap shortcut work of many other outlets or cutting reporters may help their bottom line, but it doesn't build their credibility. And you need to be in this world today, if you're going to be successful in the media, you need to have a strong voice and be credible and invest in journalism. And I do think you can show that it pays off. And that's the issue we haven't seen. And, I salute all those local papers. I salute you, Marshall, and the station, for being in there. And, you do a good job. But you have filled a gap that has disappeared or has existed here in terms of covering local news.
All right, Brian, always great to talk with you. We'll speak to you next week.
Fantastic. Talk to you then.
Take care. Brian Ross and Real News. You can find Brian on our on-demand page, robinhoodradio.com. Click on Brian Ross and Real News.